Because he can sing a lot, just like we can tell him.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Amen.
When we sing to God be the glory.
Yes, sir.
And we're singing to God be the glory.
Yes, sir.
For the things he's done. And then we don't give him glory. We've sung a lot. When we sing to God be the glory, and then I have to tell you, give God praise. It doesn't make sense, does it?
No, no, no. Right.
You ought to be able to honestly look back over your life.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a man from top to bottom, side to side, and front to back. But if I look back over my life, I will cry.
Yes,
like a baby.
Yes,
because of what God has done for me. What he's brought me through. And so many times we want to focus and we want folks to think that we always look like this. We always talk like this. We always acted like this. If this man and this lady told my true story, y'all wouldn't come back. But to God be the glory for the things he's done. To God be the glory for the things that he's doing right now. And because I trust him and I believe him to be true, to God be the glory for the things that he has yet to do. 1 Samuel 17:42-48 in the Amplified Bible says, when the Philistine looked around and saw David, he was irritated with him because he was just a young man with a ruddy complexion and a handsome appearance. That sounds to me like he was jealous already just because of what it looked like. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with shepherd's staffs? The Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. And then David said to him, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts,
yes,
the God of the armies of Israel, and you're taunting them this day. The Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. I will give your body to the army of the Philistines this day, to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel.
Yes, sir.
And that this entire assembly may know that the Lord does not save by the sword or the spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will hand you over to me.
Amen.
And the Philistine rose and came forward to meet David. And David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. And he put his hand in his bag, and he took out a stone, and he threw it, and it struck the Philistine on his forehead, and he fell face down in the ground.
Amen.
Dead. I want to talk briefly, and I'm not going to do this whole thing because the hour is long. 5 smooth stones. Amen. I used to go to church and we would give the title. Folks would shout because it meant something to them. 5 smooth stones. Amen.
Yeah.
It not just 5 any stones. 5 smooth stones. How does a stone get smooth, right? Come on, somebody. A stone gets smooth because it's been worn down by the water. It's been worn down by the test of time. A smooth stone is what it took to do the job. Amen. 20 years old, we don't know anything, do we? But if we keep on living and roll with life and run with God, God will allow those storms and the water that rises in our life to smooth out the rough areas and make them plain so we can be smooth stones, because it takes a smooth stone to kill a giant. So we know the story of David and Goliath, how God used a brave young man to stand in the face of a giant. The record tells us that he was 9'7" tall. Amen. And David was looking at him, and folks were looking at the giant. And people were looking at the circumstances of the giant. They were looking at how big he was. They were looking way up here. And if you go back earlier into the account, David was looking right at him, right straight ahead, because he said, "Y'all see a giant. I'm looking at him and going, well, he's not circumcised," because they were looking up here, and he was looking dead straight at his core. And his core, he said, he's just an uncircumcised Philistine. But they said he was a giant. And you know, when we apply scripture today, we can say that David isn't the only person to come up against a giant. Amen? We don't face 9'7", you know, giants. Let's be real, right? But we all have a Goliath situation in our life from time to time, if we tell the truth. Amen? Yeah. And on a few rare occasions, we will end up staring a Goliath straight in the eye. Mm-hmm. And either fear or faith will take over. Are you with me? And most often, it is a fear and an expectation that we are about to be devoured. Amen? Yeah. So I ask on today, what is your Goliath? It could be many different things. Amen? It can be unemployment. Your Goliath can be debt. Mm-hmm. Your Goliath can be a disease. It can be abandonment issues. Yeah. It can be abuse. It can be tragedy. It can be finances. It can be weakness. It can be rejection. It can be a broken relationship. It can be an addiction. It can be a bad habit, a temptation, a discrimination, a fear, a past failure, a discouragement, and anger. Your Goliath could be sleeping next to you in the bed. And young people, sometimes we hear what looks to be a giant screaming at us. You're not qualified for that job.
Hello.
Come on, I'm just going to talk to you today. You're not good enough. You can't pay your bills. Uh-huh. Sometimes we as adults, we hear our Goliath saying to us, you cannot save your marriage.
Yeah.
You are losing your children. You cannot stop your bad habit. You can't stop that forbidden relationship. You can't shake off your past. You don't have a bright future. Your life is a mistake. You're not worth the blessings of God. Do we not hear that sometimes?
Come on.
And if I were to ask the question, are you ready to face your Goliath, would you be able to say yes?
Yes.
Yes, some folks say yes, but honestly, sometimes we're not ready for that, are we? We're not ready to face our Goliath, because fear has stepped in where our faith should be stepping in. So when we join this battlefield called life, and we need to be confident of God's presence in it, amen? Satan stands before the local church, and he defies a living Savior, doesn't he? His church, his people, are for the most part, we're huddled down. Let's be real today, right? Because if we're going to be real, we can get delivered, amen? The church is huddled down, right? We're huddled down. We're scared because we don't want to offend somebody. We're scared because we don't want somebody to leave the church, amen? When we are the church, this is just where we worship. And we're huddled, and when we should be shouting, we're silent. And when we are silent, sometimes that is when we should be shouting, because we are really looking in the face of Goliath, and we are scared. So when we go to verse 37, I would say that we need to plug into the source of our power to understand what David was experiencing during this time. In the 37th verse, it says, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hands of the Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord will be with you." See, David didn't take it and say, "It's all about me." David didn't say, I did it. He said, "The Lord that delivered me." You have to understand that the battle is not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. So the first thing that you need to do before you even get ready to fight anything is you've got to plug into that and understand that God is your source. He is your power. And if you plug into him, he will do the work for you. We've got appliances all through our house, all through this building, and if you don't plug them in, they are what? Useless.
Yeah.
See, God's people in the Bible, they had been empowered by God through the outpouring and the anointing of his power. And the empowerment of the Christian comes in Acts, Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be a witness unto both me and in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. The Bible says that the power is there. It falls on us. And if we plug into it, we will tell it all over this world. Paul testified, he said, my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Amen? You can go into my office and there's diplomas and degrees all on the long sides of all the walls. And I could stand up here and say a whole bunch of foolishness to let you know that I have been to school. And it doesn't mean anything if I don't tell you that your power comes from the Lord. Your help comes from the Lord. Without him, you can do nothing. And everything that he did it with you in mind. It's all about Jesus. Come on, somebody. When we're facing a Goliath, Paul tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, do we? But against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness of this world and wickedness in high places. The enemy is all around us today. Amen. I'm not trying to preach you happy. I'm trying to preach you intelligent. The enemy is all around us today. Amen. There's more people out there than there are in here. Come on, somebody. There's more people out there than there are in here. We've been given weapons and ammo that will kill any giant that stands before us. But we must choose the right weapon. Verse 4, he said, David reached down into the brook. He picked up 5 smooth stones and then proceeded to kill a giant. We're going to look at the stones, amen? And I believe he took 5 because the scriptures tell us that Goliath had 4 brothers.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. See, because when you come against the world says, if you come against me, you get us all.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we should be the same way. When you come against one of us, you should get us all, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Somebody. So the first stone, let's just say this, that is the stone of the spirit, amen? It says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in 1 Samuel 16:13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of the brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Without the power of the Spirit, we settle for substitutes, right? We will settle for souls. We will settle for bodies instead of souls, right? We will settle for activity versus service. And I have said from the very beginning that I would rather have a church of servants than a church of 300 busy folks that aren't doing anything.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. Without God's Spirit, man is helpless in his own strength. Christianity has become occupied with the strategy of the Philistine, which is flesh, rather than the power of God, right? When we're occupied with the things of life rather than the things of our future life and eternity. We live like we've got to get it all down here. Amen. We live like we've got to get the big house down here. We've got to have the big car down here. But we forget that this, we're just passing through here. And when somebody like me or somebody else come and pick you up out your hospital bed and lay you out, all the stuff that you had is going to stay right where it was. When you go into that grave, you go in alone. When you stand before the Lord, you stand before him naked and alone. And everything that you ran after and chased after down here on this side will stay right here. We need to live like we're building our house in eternity, because eternity is forever, and forever is a long time. We get more involved with the pleasures of social, athletic, and financial societies and fraternal organizations more than we do with the things of God. Amen. We must be filled with the Spirit of God, trust in it to get the job done. I heard a saying that said we must do little jobs as though they're big ones. And then when the big jobs come, God will let us do them as their little ones.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Attempt great things for him and expect great things from him. David was a sheep herder. And before the end of the scripture, he was a giant killer.
Yes,
come on, somebody.
Yeah.
He went from herding sheep to killing giants.
Yeah.
In just a couple chapters of scripture. Young people, when they tell you can't do it, say, well, I know a man named David.
Yeah.
Went from nothing to giant killer by the end of the day.
Yeah.
So when they tell you can't make it, when they tell you can't do it, look at them and say, but my pastor told me that David went from herding sheep to killing giants. So I can get that job. Amen. Somebody, I can pass that test. I can get into that university. I can stand tall. The first stone is the Spirit of God. The second is the stone of past experience. And I like that stone. Amen. I like that because it's important in the success to accomplish this. David had proven the power of God in his past already. And some of us today have experienced great victories and now stand on the brink of defeat. Some of us here have been through some stuff.
Yeah.
Come on, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Some of us here know what it feels like to have a door slammed shut
yeah.
behind you. Some of us know what it feels like to be told when to get up and when to go to sleep and,
yeah.
and what to eat and where to go and what line to walk in. Some of us know what that feels like to be addicted to something. Someone knows here what it feels like to be a part of a gang. Somebody knows what it feels like, amen, to be high and strung out. Somebody understands that. David knew that victory could be won and he wasn't fearful of the armor that Goliath had on. The record tells us it was 100 pounds.
Yeah.
He wasn't looking at the armor. He was looking at where he could hit him with that stone.
Yes, sir.
Because it doesn't matter how much stuff you put on to mask who you really are. There is somewhere in that armor where a smooth stone, can come in there and wipe you and all your armor right out.
Yes.
When Jesus faced Satan on the cross of Calvary, it wasn't the first time he had come encountered with him, right? He had already talked to him in the garden, didn't he?
Yes,
and he had already defeated him in the wilderness of temptation. Think back to an event in your past when you knew that God had really worked on your behalf.
Yeah.
Can you do that for a minute? If you think back on a situation in your past, when you knew that you needed a lawyer, and when you got there, you found out that everything had been dropped.
Yes, sir.
Come on, when you thought you needed a second opinion because the first doctor's report said that you weren't going to make it, and when you got to the second doctor, they looked at the stuff that the first doctor had already and said, I don't know what he was looking at. I don't see anything here. But you have to understand that God did it once, he'll do it again. A lion was taken from a lamb from the flock that David was tending to, and David went out and he killed the lion.
Mm-hmm.
The devil is a roaring lion. Peter says, be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. It doesn't say seeking whom he may irritate. It doesn't say seeking whom he may upset. Seeking who he may offend or take off focus. It says looking to see who he can devour. That when you devour something, there's nothing left on your plate, is it? If the food is really good, you'll hand the plate back and look like there was nothing ever on it. Amen. The devil is here to take you out, kill your destiny, destroy your future, and make it look like you have never been here. See, the reason David was so sure of victory that he had already gone to the well of strength, amen? And he knew that he could kill Goliath. And the reason that we can kill ours is because we have already understood that God has worked on our behalf and he has shown himself to be sufficient. So we said the Spirit of God, the Spirit of past experience. And as this would be a stone, the third one of priority. Samuel 17:46 says, this day the Lord will deliver thee into my hand, and the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not by sword and spear, for the battle is his, and he will give you into my hands. So we need to understand and we need to remember our first priority is God's reputation.
Amen.
We forget that because we're so worried about what people think about us. And I will tell you the truth. I don't care what people think about me. Your opinion about me is none of my business. I am concerned when I stand before the Lord that He'll be able to look over my life and say, well done, you were good and faithful over a few things. And now I will make you ruler over many. Our first priority ought to be God's reputation. See, David saw Goliath as a chance for God to show off. Amen? And David knew that he would exit the battle alive? No, he didn't. He had no idea that he was going to come out of that thing alive. He just knew that it wasn't up to him. He just knew that the battle wasn't his to fight. He knew that he was being sent on a mission. And I'm sure he said, if I die, let me die. But I've been told to get 5 smooth stones. I don't know why we're going to get 5, but I'm going to get 5. If he show up just by himself, if the first stone missed, I've got 4 more opportunities. He didn't understand all of that stuff. He was just being obedient to what was being told for him to do. And so I dare you, if you look at your situation, allow God to show off in your life.
Yeah.
I spent a few years apologizing for being successful. There's a lady back there, her name is Sarah Cody, and she said to me one day, she said, when are you going to stop apologizing to people because God has blessed you? I looked at her and I said to myself, and then I thought about it again. You have to give God an opportunity to show off in your life.
Yeah.
And when he does it, you ought to be proud and say thank you.
Uh-huh.
And then you can say things, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? And see, cancer, when you get a cancer diagnosis, I had it four times. That's God's opportunity to show off in my life.
Yeah.
They called me yesterday. They said, can you come a little early? I spent 3 hours in a machine. When I got there, man says to me, he says, how are you doing? I said, I'm good. I said, if I could sing, I would sing. And he thought I was being smart. And he said, what would you sing? I would say, I would trust in the Lord until I die. I said, put me in the machine. I'm going to sleep. He said, ain't nobody. I said, put me in now. I'm going to sleep. And I went to sleep. And when I came out the other end, he said, everything looked good. I'm not supposed to tell you that, but I'm just telling you everything looked good. And that stuff we were looking at looked like it's brand new. I said, I will trust in the Lord. This is an opportunity for God to show off in my life. And I said to him, you know him. If you don't know him, come on down the living street and I'll tell you a little about who he is. Do you understand, family, that God is whatever you need him to be?
Yes, he is.
He's whatever you need him to be.
Yes, sir.
Pastor, when I started the church, there was nobody to play the piano. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I just trust God.
Mm-hmm.
When we started the church, there was nobody in the seat. Dick said, well, we just trust God. When we started the church, there was nobody to play the drums. There wasn't even a guitar anywhere to be found, and certainly not a saxophone, and nobody to even sing.
Uh-huh.
And we just trusted God.
Yeah.
And we know that He is a provider, and He sent us everything that we needed. Not all at once, because we weren't able to accept the whole blessing all at one time. He gave it to us a little bit to see how we were going to handle it. And He said, if you're a good steward over this thing, I'm going to give you the rest of what you need. And now look, amen? Jehovah Jireh, He is a provider. He is a blessing. He is a man of evidence. He is a sanctified Shalom. He is a keeper of the body. He is a shepherd. And all He is the Lord God Almighty. They say He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Bible tells us that one day He is going to crack the sky.
Yeah.
And when He does, the Bible says that every eye is going to see. Every knee is going to bow. In the house or outside the walls. It says every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord. And all you need to slay a Goliath in your life is the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
I won't be long. 4 stones, stone of passion. 17:32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight him. And it came to pass. I love that. I love when the Bible says it came to pass. Because that means you got to really pay attention to that thing. Whatever was said before it and whatever is said after it, it's very important. That bridge says, and it came to pass. When the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran towards the army to meet him. Now I say to you, who bet on David? Who put money on the kid from Bethlehem? Really? No, come on. If I was about to stand in front of a 9'7" Goliath, y'all wouldn't put your money on me. I know it. I know it. Hey, I may not either, depending on the day. The Philistines, not the Hebrews, nor David's siblings, or his king. But see, God did. And when we read this passage of scripture, and no offense to the wonderful men over the years that I've had the opportunity to sit under, no one ever picked this little nuance of scripture out. And in the nuances of scripture is where your real deliverance is. That's why you've got to study this thing. It says that when he rose up, David saw him, and what did he do? What did he do? The Bible says he ran towards him. Come on, somebody. We miss that. When something rises up in your life, run towards that thing. Don't hunker down and get scared and start acting like you don't know that God is good and he is able. He healed you from cancer, but he can't get your children under control. When Goliath roars up in your life, put your best set of sneakers on and run toward that thing full blast, because you can, as you're running, you can say, look, look, Goliath, the Bible tells me that this battle ain't even mine. It's the Lord, so bring it. Run to it. Take up a stone of passion. There's one more stone, and that's persistence. Why did he pick up five? It doesn't matter. Never give up. Never give up. Be prepared. Understand, children, that one apology may not be enough. Mm-hmm. Understand that sometimes one prayer is not enough. Amen. Understand that sometimes you've got to get knocked down a time or two. Amen. In order to be a smooth stone, you've got to be hewn out over life, and life will cause some things to come your way. And you can either come out of that thing jaded, or you can come out of that thing victorious. Amen, somebody.
Yes.
Five good stones. Jacob wrestled with God all night long, didn't he? He said, I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me. Sometimes we don't have all the blessings in life that God wants us to have because we're not willing to wrestle with him.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. We're not willing to let go of him. And we're not willing to hold on to him and say, I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me.
Uh-huh.
There's a guy that works for me. I can't tell him nothing. He knows everything in the world. I can't teach him anything. But yet I have the whole world of knowledge that I can give to him to understand this craft. And because of it, he struggles every day. Because of it, he struggles every day. I see him sit and struggle, and I thought to myself, my goodness. And here comes another guy along, and he grabbed a hold of my hand. And he said, I'm not going to let go of you until you teach me everything that you know about this business. I'm not going to let go of you until I get everything out of you that I can get out of you. I'm not going to let go of you until you are empty and I am full. And if you grab on to God and you don't let go of his hand and you hold on to him, he will bless you. He will keep you. He will cover you. He will honor you. He will order your steps. Hallelujah. Somebody. Don't be disturbed by a giant. David asked the men standing near him, uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this guy? They looking at how big he is. David looking about where he came from. David said to him, come against me with a sword and a spear. I don't know. I think David might look like us. So I don't know that he said, come against me with a sword and a spear. I think David said to him, man, that's all you got? Where do you get that? What's this? You tall. The tall brothers, they just fall hard. That's all. You know, I believe he looked right at him. He said, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. This guy got armor, swords, and spears. They got five stones. Right? If you look at the Bible, it's actually kind of funny, right? David got five little stones. He's probably 5'7". They said he was cute, whatever. You know, this dude 5'9", 7", with 100 pounds of armor, looking like this. And David just looked at him and smiled. He said, that stuff is cute. I bet it's heavy and it's hot. I got something for you. I got five smooth, sanctified stones. Don't be discouraged by detractors. Everyone had something to say to David, didn't they? They said, what are you doing? They said, why'd you come here? Look what you've done. No one said to him, did you need any help? Do you find anywhere in this account of scripture where anybody said to David, is there anything that we can do for you? Do you need me to carry your bag? You want me to get five stones for backup? You want me to call Day and John and tell them to come over here because Goliath is a tall dude? No one said anything. They said, what are you doing? Look at him and look at you. When folks, young people, when people say, what are you doing? When they say you don't have what it takes. When they say you don't look like you're supposed to look like, and you don't sound like you're supposed to sound like. Those are words. Those are hateful words. And you can say, that's all right, but I come against that in the name of the Lord Almighty. And I am who God says I am. And the Bible says I'm fearfully, wonderfully, marvelously made. And it also goes on to tell me that I can do all things through Christ, who is my strength. Amen. So seize divine opportunity. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. The scripture tells us, the record says, reaching into his bag, he took out a stone and he slung it and he struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and his face hit the ground. David ran over, he stood over him, he took his own sword, the thing that he was so proud of, and used what had set out and been set out in motion to kill him. He took that very same thing and used it to cut off the head of his adversary. Amen, somebody. And when they saw that their hero was dead, the rest of them turned around and ran away. It reminds me when the Bible says, when they came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they fell. Can I get a witness on that thing? The very thing that has been set out to destroy you, the very thing that has been set out to attack your life and your destiny, God will allow you if you just trust him. If you just trust him and you faint not, God will allow you to take that very same thing that was set out to destroy you and use it to make your enemy your footstool. Can I get a witness in the house? He cut off his head. Now, we obviously can't go around cutting off people's heads. So without a modern day application of scripture, what good does that do aside from giving a biblical record?
Right.
So I would say to you, there's probably some things that you need to cut off. Amen, yeah. Somebody.
Yeah.
How about cutting off evil communications?
Uh-huh.
How about cutting off illicit relationships? How about cutting off bad habits and vices?
Yes.
How about cutting off pornography and drinking to get drunk?
Uh-huh.
How about cut off gossip?
Yeah.
How about we stop backbiting and talking about folks?
Uh-huh.
How about we stop coveting what other people had and thank God for what he has blessed us with?
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. The next time a giant shout in your life, plug into the source of your power, choose the right weapons, keep your eyes on focus, seize God's moment, and then cut off your enemy's head. Amen, somebody. And let's close out. Brothers and sisters, I just want to tell you, playtime is over. Recess is for school children.
Yeah.
Understand this. The Lord is soon to come.
Yes, he is.
All this stuff we do, it's cute. church looks nice. But the real truth of the matter, people are hurting. And we're running around trying to look like church. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Recess is over. The Lord is soon to come. And we can look back in the Bible and we understand this to be true because it says that on a Friday evening, your Jesus and mine. Come on, somebody, pray with me. On a Friday evening, your Jesus and my Jesus. He hung on Calvary's cross.
Yes, I did.
He was bloody. He was bruised. He was abused.
Yes, sir.
He was physically unrecognizable to his mother at this point. But he hung there for you and for me.
Yes, sir.
For your sin and my sin.
Yes.
Understand this. He could have got off of that thing anytime he felt like it. He could have called down a team of angels. He could have blinked an eye. He could have cried out, "Daddy, get me out of here."
Yes, sir.
He said, "One day Pastor Tim's going to mess up something. Let me see." Your sin and my sin. Understand this, family. When the blood ran down Calvary's cross, it ran down for the preacher and the prostitute.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The drunkard and the deacon.
Yes.
The ground is level. The blood is pure. And there's no one that is more worthy than another for the remission of sin.
Amen.
They took him down. The record says they buried him in a borrowed new tomb that belonged to a man named Joseph. And I believe Satan looked at his Goliath. To see Satan's Goliath is Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And I believe he looked at his Goliath and he said, "I got you now. I got him now." I believe he said, "Look at your Savior now. Look at him." I believe he would have, if he could have said, look at him. He can't do anything. He's helpless. Where's his power? What, all the things he taught, all the things he said. Look at him now. And when the disciples should have started shouting, they set the precedent and they remained silent. They hunkered down. They got scared. They got nervous. They forgot that he said, "I'm going to lay my life down." But 3 days later, I promise you this, I'm going to pick it up again.
Yeah.
Remember this. The battle has already been fought.
Yes,
the victory has already been won.
Yes, sir.
All we need to do is be present.
Amen.
And accounted for. On the battlefield, and he will do the fighting. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
And if you think that isn't true, they said on Friday he hung his head and he died. It says that the earth quaked, the ground shook.
Yeah.
The record tells us that the dead got up.
Yes.
And inquired about Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
The sun refused to shine and the moon began to trip. And it was all for you. It was all for me. And Saturday came and all was quiet.
Oh, yeah.
On this side. Understand, he was already fighting on the other side.
Yes.
But it was quiet. We were hunkered down. But the record tells us he went down into Sheol.
Yes.
He went down into a place where those that had died before him were in repose. And I don't know, but I think Jesus looked like us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, when we go somewhere, don't we want to be seen? We want to be we want to be noticed. We don't scoot in the side door and sit down. We bust the door open and we expect balloons and parades. I believe he went down and he kicked the gates of hell. And he said, listen, y'all, I'm not sure what's going on up there, but I just stopped by here to let you know that everything is all right. I want you to know that I have paid the price.
Yeah.
Your sin debt has been canceled.
Yeah.
And your right to everlasting life is now available to you. Understand,
yeah,
he fought the battle.
Oh, yes.
And just like the Bible says, he's coming back. What does it say? He's coming back what? Again. Because he came back once. Amen, somebody. It says on that early Sunday morning, they went to go do what we do to the dead. They got their kits together. Those that know me, I travel with a kit. They got their kits together. They said, come on, we've got to go and we've got to embalm Jesus. The Bible says anoint. They were going to embalm him. They were going to preserve his body because they didn't remember. They weren't plugged into the source of their power. They didn't remember that he said, on the third day, I'm going to get up again.
Yeah.
So they went there, and when they got there, it says the stone was rolled away. Y'all want me to hoop and holler, but I want you to understand this thing. The stone wasn't a little stone. And it took a whole bunch of people to roll the stone. And then what did they do? They put somebody there to guard it. We miss that when we read scripture. I leave my home. When I go back, everybody that was dead when I left is still dead when I get back. I don't have to lock them in a room. I don't have to put a guard at the door. Because I know that they're there.
Yeah.
They put a guard at that tomb because they knew. They knew what they had done. And what happened? I believe that when he got up with such force. He got up with such authority. He got up with such power. They say the stone was rolled away, but let's put this in perspective. Jesus didn't do anything subtle, did he?
No.
When he did something, he did it.
Amen.
When he did it, everybody knew that he had been through there, whether he said don't tell anybody or not.
Yeah.
When he made a move, he left a mark. And the Bible says on the third day he got up. And what I believe the Spirit of the living God shone down into that tomb. I believe it filled up with bright light. I believe when the Spirit rested on top of him, I believe that he stood up, and I believe he did this, and I believe he busted out of those grave clothes. And when that body busted up out of those clothes, that stone rolled away. It busted up into pieces. And when they came and they saw he wasn't there, he said, why are you looking for the dead among the living? He said, I got up. And when he got up with all power. He got up with all authority. He got up with the keys to heaven, hell, and the grave. So let me explain this to you simply. He got up. And because he got up, I dare you to get up. Get up out of your situation. Get up out of your circumstances. He got up so you can get up. Shout hallelujah, somebody. He got up with all power and authority. And they say if you can't find it in the Bible, open the hymn book. And if you open up the hymn book, you will find these words, because he lives. Come on, somebody. Come on, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, thank you for all my fears gone. I know hope my future and my life, your life, with me and can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all my fear is gone. Because I know who holds my future. And life is worth living. Because he lives.
Yeah.
Do you know him today? As we stand on our feet, the doors of the Lord's house are open. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and the full pardon of your sins, we offer Christ to you today.